Emily Jensen had a picture in her mind of what an ideal godly mother should look like. But then she discovered,
I wasn't really focused on the heart. Very quickly, I realized, like, not only did I not measure up to those things on the outside, but on the inside, I was shocked at my own weakness.
It's November 5th, 2019, and you're listening to the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, along with Dana Gresh.
So, how can the good news about Jesus affect your role as a mom? That's something Nancy and our guests are exploring all this week on Revive Our Hearts. Let's listen together.
Well, we are in the middle of a fascinating, captivating conversation with two precious women that I'm so excited for our Revive Our Hearts audience to meet. Some of you already know them, Emily Jensen and Laura Wiffler, connected with Risen Motherhood. Actually, that is the ministry that God birthed through these two women who are young moms with young children and going through all the challenges that young moms with young children do go through. And we're talking about how the gospel speaks to that and every season of life. They have written a book called Risen Motherhood, Gospel Hope for Everyday Moments, and we're making that available to any of our listeners this week who make a donation of any amount to the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. We're speaking to a lot of young women through this ministry, and you may know some young moms. Get them listening to this series. You maybe say, I'm not in that season, but there's some young moms in your church or in your family that you need to encourage. They need and want the encouragement that you can give, and this book would be a great resource to give for them if you're not in the season of life where it's something that would be timely for you. So Emily and Laura, welcome back to Revive Our Hearts.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It's just a joy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We got going yesterday, and then we looked up at the clock and said, did all that time pass so quickly? As we had dinner together before we started these days of recording, I wish all of our listeners could have been sitting with us at the table, because we're all like full hearts and fast talkers. But it's so energizing and encouraging to know that the things you're walking through, you're not walking through alone. And you have done for each other. You have come alongside each other and then other women in your Risen Motherhood community to be community, to be sisterhood, to let each other know that the things you're facing, the challenges, I wonder how many mothers have that first display of realization that there's anger in their heart. Mm-hmm. And they think, I'm the only mom who has ever yelled at her kid.
That's right.
To realize that others deal with the same fleshly, natural instincts, and they love their kids like crazy, but they sometimes their kids drive them crazy, or they feel. And so to have each other is such a gift, and you're coming alongside other young moms and doing that for them. And I hope that this series on Revive Our Hearts will be of great encouragement to some younger women that you may know, that you can point them to this Risen Motherhood. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting title. How did you come up with that? And what does it mean?
Yeah, well, as we were thinking about the gospel and motherhood, I think one topic we kept coming back to was that we are made a new creation in Christ, right? He was risen from the dead, and that is going to be us someday, too. He's promised to return, and we are going to be raised from the dead. And so it's just this reality that what does life look like in light of that truth? And I think we were discussing that, and my husband threw out, what about risen motherhood? Yeah. And it stuck, and we thought that just captured. We're in that already, but not yet. And so we're
meaning, just for those who haven't heard that term.
Yeah, we're already saved. We're saved from the punishment of sin, but we are not yet, you know, with Christ forever in eternity.
Glorified.
Where everything is going to be made new, and we are still wrestling with sin, and we're living in a broken world. And so what would it look like for us as moms to be walking like our risen Savior in the midst of all of the brokenness around us?
Yeah, one of our taglines is living in light of the resurrection. So just this idea that we recognize that the cross mattered and it has an impact. And because of what Jesus did. As Emily said, we're a new creation, and that means that we have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us change our attitude, change our perspective, and we live with that eternal perspective, knowing that, as Emily said, the not yet, that someday we will be glorified, we'll be reunited with our Savior, and that is a hope that moms can cling to in the midst of a difficult day, knowing that someday this is not all that there is. This is not the end of the road for them, but there is a far greater hope and a beautiful thing that awaits them.
I'm thinking of Romans chapter 8 as I'm hearing both of you talk, and how you see this all through the scripture, but how the Apostle Paul, particularly in that chapter, he talks about the battle between the flesh and the spirit. And you don't have to be a mom to get that. Anybody who knows Jesus knows that there's this pull of the spirit and there's this pull of the flesh, and they pull in opposite directions. And sometimes you feel that your flesh is so strong, and but you want to give in to the spirit, but sometimes you feel like you can't. And there's that battle that goes on that really the non-Christian doesn't have that battle. Yeah. They just do what the flesh wants to do, right? Yeah. But then I love how Paul always takes it to the future hope.
That's right.
That we keep in front of us. And boy, when you're, Emily, you've got five children, seven and under. Laura, you've got three children, what,
six and under.
And that's, I think, the most exhausting season of a woman's life. And it's, there's no break. It's 24/7, really. And like, sleep is overrated. You have to kind of tell yourself in that season. But to have before you in that or any season, the hope that Paul says, for example, in Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, whatever they may look like, maybe your kids are teenagers and this is the tough season for you, or maybe you're an empty nester now and it's a whole new season for you. Young adult kid issues can be as challenging or more than toddler issues or teen issues, but whatever they are, maybe it's not having children at all or not having a mate or being widowed or divorced or a single mom. Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time, whatever they are, they are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So why is that? It's because Jesus didn't just die and stay in the grave. He rose from the dead, and we will follow him. We will be raised with him, and there will be glory. So in those really mundane, inglorious days, you feed your heart and fuel your heart with the hope that this isn't it.
I love that. And I also think in Romans 8, it talks about our spirits can cry out, Abba, Father, because we've been adopted as daughters of the King. And I think for a mom in any area of motherhood, anywhere along the path, like that is a wonderful hope that we can approach the throne like a child approaching their father, and that he welcomes us. And that to me has just been such great hope, that when I feel shame or guilt or like I've just messed up as a mom, because I think most moms deep in their soul somewhere know that they're not enough, that they don't have everything it takes to be a perfect mom or to raise these kids to know the Lord. Like, we can come to the throne and cry out, Abba, Father. And in those moments when we don't know what to say, I think there are times where I'm like, Lord, I don't know. I just need help. I don't even know how to ask for it or what exactly I need help in. I just know I can't do it. The Holy Spirit cries out with our spirit. And that's what it talks about in Romans 8. And I think that's just been such an encouragement that when we can't articulate our need, when we don't even know where to turn, that the Spirit is moving and crying out on our behalf, and that we can come and know that there is peace and hope and joy and transformation for us. And that there is just so much more to this life. And I think that's just such a gift of being a believer and being a child of God.
Yeah. Our intro to our show talks about one minute we feel like we're doing a good enough job, and the next moment we feel like the worst mom on the planet. And that is so true. And I'll just say, like, for Laura and I, who've been rehearsing the gospel in motherhood for like 4 years now, we still need it over and over and over again. Yeah. I think this isn't a one-time truth that—
And if you ever get to the place where you think— you've got it and you don't need more of it, right? then you missed it.
You missed it. You missed it. And so I think that's one of our heartbeats is that, you know, no matter how many times I've thought about what no condemnation for in Christ Jesus means or crying out, Abba, Father, you know, I'm going to go home from this wonderful recording. We've gotten to stay in a lovely room and in a lovely place back to my children. And maybe 5 minutes after I walk in the door
or less,
I'm going to feel frustration or there might be a tense moment with someone. I'm going to have to turn around again and remember, okay, who am I? Whose am I? Mm-hmm. And what does that mean for me? And I'm going to turn again, keep turning back to the Father. And I also love that idea of we're not saved to just be independent and on our own and we'll figure it out. We're saved into a family. Mm-hmm. And that's where we need others around us to remind us when we are weak and we can't even see. Man, I just am so blinded by the cloud of circumstances that I'm in. We need sisters and we need brothers and we need mothers in the faith and fathers in the faith to just really remind us of the truth of the word and let that do its work.
And you all have had a lot of those kinds of people in your life. I feel sorry for women who are trying to do this alone.
Yeah.
Who don't have church family, who aren't really, and I don't mean just, you know, sitting in a church service on Sundays, that's a starting place, but who aren't connected to others who share their heart and their longings and want to pursue Christ with them, because we stimulate one another to love and good deeds and to remember the gospel. And when I forget it, I need people in my life who will remind me of what I know to be true,
right,
but I just lost sight of. I want to go back to before you were mothers. You were college students, then you got married, and before you started having children, what were you thinking about motherhood? What were your expectations? That's what I want to get to, how expectations can actually defeat us.
Yeah.
But what did you think motherhood was going to be like? What kind of mothers did you think you would be? And then my next question will be, how did reality, what did it do to your expectations or your ideals or what you thought it was going to be like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is so interesting when I look back and now in hindsight, I'm like, I wonder, you know, where I got all the different ideas that I had. But I think there was a season when I first got married where I viewed children, this is very candid, but just maybe as an inconvenience or as something to put off for a while because wanted to have fun or travel or do some different things with my husband. I think we'd said, oh, we're going to wait like 5 years and then maybe we'll think about it. And so that was the first work of the Lord in my own heart to just see this as a gift and as a joy and as part of a mission that my husband and I could have together to raise disciples and to pass along the gospel to the next mm-hmm. generation in our church family as well, wherever, you know, he would have us, but to biological children if he would give those to us. And then, like, once I got a hold of that idea, I built this whole perfect idea of what Christian motherhood looked like. And I think I pulled that from a number of different sources. Some of it was, you know, older women that I really admired or peers at my church. And, you know, I could almost communicate to you like, oh, I had chickens in the backyard and I had a certain number of kids and I baked bread. And I said, you know, I mean, I could almost list out for you what that looked like.
What you thought it would look like.
Oh, yeah. What I was aspiring right. for. And it's so interesting because I was really living to try to be this external model of the way that I lived my life on a daily basis. But I wasn't really focused on the heart. Like, what would my heart be like? And then what was God doing in our unique family? And how was that going to translate? And so it was just really interesting because, of course, very quickly I realized, like, not only did I not measure up to those things on the outside, you know, I wasn't baking bread. I definitely didn't have chickens. I don't know. The children were more overwhelming than I thought, you know, whatever those things were. But on the inside, I was shocked at my own weakness, you know, that I had. I remember sitting on the couch one day. I have this picture of one. I had twins. I had one like in on the couch, like in this pillow, and I was holding a bottle. And then I had another one in my arm, and I was holding a bottle. And then I had a toddler, you know, at my knees, you know, and he's like pushing the babies, like, "Mom, get up, get up." And just thinking, wow, I need a lot of help here. And my heart is really what needs a lot of help. So,
because what was happening in your heart?
Oh, I think just overwhelm and feeling incredibly weak and feeling like I couldn't do, I didn't have what it was going to take just to get to the next hour at that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to come back to how the gospel spoke into that. Yeah. But Laura, when you think about your expectations or ideals or what you pictured motherhood being like for you.
Yeah, I had similar visions as Emily. Particularly, I would be just sort of a Stepford wife in a way. You know, I would have the great dinner on the table each night. It would be healthy and wholesome, and I would throw great birthday parties, and my home would be well decorated. And I was, you know, very efficient with my time, and I was the hostess with the mostest, and my kids were just all orderly, you know, that like almost the Von Trapp family. And I had pictures like that in my mind.
So they could sing, too.
That's right. You know they could. So that was definitely the image that I had. I think a lot of it was just outward appearances. And
I'm curious as to, and I think I know the answer, but I want us to address it. Where do these ideals come from? Where do these pictures come from? What do you think informed?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a series of things growing up. A lot of it, I would say, social media was on the rise at the time. And so certainly there are idyllic pictures of families that are homeschooling and have chickens and bake bread. And you don't see the arguments and the fights or the stresses, the financial strain, different things like that. You don't see that on social media. And you just see the fruit, the product that these...
If it's even real.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to
Pinterest boards.
Pinterest
was
on the rise.
That was really big when we were new moms. Was like you would pin all the different things. Like these are the outdoor activities I want to do.
Yeah, the toddler activities and
crafts.
Yeah.
The way I'm going to organize everything. It just was... There was just a perfect way for everything.
And it's as if these activities sort of... You can achieve them if you don't have children. You know?
Exactly.
You've got
Actually,
children.
You probably can't. I don't
That's
have children,
true.
And
That's
it's
true.
Still
no one can.
Unrealistic.
That's right. So I and culture, I mean, media, watching TV, reading magazines. I mean, I remember I loved looking through House Beautiful. I loved design and decor, and they would have these beautiful homes that I wanted to aspire to someday when, you know, we had more financial means. And the reality is that's just not practical with children. Like, even if I could afford it, it wouldn't be a wise decision for our family or a wise input of our time. And so I think we just collect these things in our friends as well, you know, what they're talking about, what they're interested in. And you get kind of swept up if you're all talking about the same thing. You start thinking, well, I need that too, and that's how I should be, and I better strive for that.
And it raises the question of whether it's that season of life and that ideal or another season of life where you have as a, you know, maybe you're a single woman in a professional career and there are aspirations and pressures to perform. But it raises the question of why do I want those things? Like, what's my motivation? And as you think back in those days, And as God began to plumb the depths of your hearts, what were some of the things you started to see that had been behind those? And I'm not saying it's all sinful to want like a pretty house or well-behaved kids, but it feels like sometimes it comes down to pride, right?
Oh, for sure.
To how I'm going to look, to the image I portray to others. I mean, did you start to sense that in your own hearts?
Yeah, I think there was this sense that motherhood is such a huge responsibility. And you see that, okay, I'm supposed to be caring for their hearts and their bodies and, you know, helping them make wise choices and all these different things. And like, if I fail at this, does this mean I'm a failure as a person at the deepest level? Like, if I can't do motherhood right, like, what does that say about me? And so I think that there's this real need to grapple with that at a deep level and say, my identity is not found in how I mother, in, you know, the way that I carry out all these different things. It's rooted in Christ. Motherhood is one important calling that he's given me, but I need to keep my eyes fixated on him and be anchored to him, because that is going to allow me to keep walking it, because I am going to fail and I'm not going to be good enough. But God can work in and through even my failure, even my sin, Lord willing, to just show my children Jesus day in and day out, even as I confess that, you know, say that to them, you know, mommy, you know, mommy didn't say that right, or I'm sorry, or whatever those different things looked like. I can just be hopeful when that's where my eyes are fixed, to say, yeah, Lord, like, you can use a sinner like me. Thank goodness I don't have to have it all together. Mm-hmm. You do.
You know, you're talking in the, again, young children season of life, but we have some women listening right now to this conversation whose children are teens or young adults or older and are far from the Lord. Mm. Prodigals. These are moms, grandmoms who cry themselves to sleep at night with heavy hearts over the waywardness of their children. And the enemy does a number on so many of these moms, that overwhelming them with guilt, with recriminations, with if only you had been different mother or better mother, and any mother or dad or person for that. I mean, we are sinful, right? Mm-hmm. But there are some moms who just need to get set free that your identity as a woman is not in how your kids have turned out.
Mm-hmm.
If you could be the best mom, baking the bread, having the chickens, doing the Pinterest perfect home, that doesn't guarantee that your children are going to have hearts
for Christ.
We always say, like, look at the garden. Adam and Eve had a perfect father that was there with them.
And picture perfect home.
Picture perfect home. And they took and ate and disobeyed their father. So I think that can help us, you know, take heart. We are in no way going to be like the Lord and his children, you know, we're wayward. And I think that's where we put our hope in him, is he knows this story and he is sovereign over this story. And we can trust him with the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you come to realize, too, as I've read what you've written and heard you talk, you realize that what your children most need is not the things that maybe were all a part of that picture you had before you had children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in order to become who God wants them to be, in order for them to experience the gospel and to love Christ, they may not need all those things, all those experiences that you hoped to provide for them, all the things that moms can guilt each other about, whether you do it this way or that way, on some of the types of issues you've brought up. Even having, like, this quiet, peaceful home isn't necessarily what your children most need. What they most need is to see the gospel at work in the midst of a sinful place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so right. If your home could be perfect, your children might, which it can't be,
no,
your children might never realize how much they need a Savior.
Yep, yeah, that's right. I think that is, for me personally, I have often pursued that perfection, that outward facade. I tend to be a fairly type A person and very driven. And I think I shared in a previous episode, I struggle with being self-reliant. And I struggle with thinking, well, I'll just pull up my bootstraps and, like, figure it out and go. And that was something that I realized, what do my kids need most from me? Do they need the amazing first birthday party, which I could possibly pull off at a time or two? Or do they need a mom that loves them well and who is willing to say, I'm sorry, and who is willing to say, you know what, we're not going to do this part of the birthday party because it's just too stressful. I'm not able to pull it off. Or maybe we'll do something small and simple and do affirmation around the table, because that means so much more than this big elaborate party at a pool. And I think for me, it comes down to sometimes weighing some of those decisions of, could I pull this off? Maybe. But would I be a mom that shows the gospel to my kids in the midst of it? Probably not.
And would that thing you might pull off, even if you could be superwoman in that moment, is that what your child really needs?
Right. Would it matter? Would it even matter?
And so is it even good for your child?
Is it even good? That's right. That's right. And so I feel like that's helped me weigh some decisions of what really matters here. Is this touching their heart and their soul? Or is this just kind of creating, you know, a little child that gets everything they want and everything does look like Pinterest around them? And what is it doing for my own soul? Like, am I being dependent on the Lord in this situation, or am I depending on myself? And I have appreciated that the Lord has allowed me to fall many times over in motherhood, where stuff didn't go well. Things got ruined. I thought I could do something, and in the end, it just didn't work out. And those moments have really shown me my limitations, that I'm not a deity, I'm not God. And I'm so grateful that I serve a bigger God that catches me when I fall and provides everything that I need, and that helps me to turn and repent and change and give my children and be able to show my children the mercies that God has shown me. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say that, you know, having an amazing birthday party for your children is wrong at all. I think that those are good gifts that we can give our children, and they can be huge blessings for our families and those around us and those that we invite. But I think what we have to look back to is the heart motivations in doing them, and kind of what's fueling the desire to want to do that. Because is that faithfulness to the gospel, or is it that fear of failure of not being the perfect mom? Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got to stop this conversation again, and we'll go on. We'll continue this in the next episode of Revive Our Hearts. But I hope that your heart is being stirred by the implications of the gospel for you as a woman in whatever season of life God finds you in. And again, I want to encourage you to, if you know some young moms, I'm sure you do, to let them know about this series. Send them to reviveourhearts.com. And we'll also link there to Risen Motherhood. So that's a ministry we recommend. We want to encourage young moms to get connected to. And we'd love to send you a copy of Laura and Emily's book, Risen Motherhood, Gospel Hope for Everyday Moments. We'll send that to you as our way of saying thank you when you make a donation of any amount to support the ministry of Revive Our Hearts this week. And just give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit us at reviveourhearts.com and go to donate there. Let us know the gift that God's putting on your heart to make. And then also let us know that you'd like to get a copy of Laura and Emily's book, Risen Motherhood. I want to get this message in the hearts and this book in the hands of a lot of young moms and older moms who are mentors and faithful women who are discipling and encouraging the younger moms in your life. This is something that will encourage you in your season of life, but it'll also give you a tool to minister into the lives of women who are right in the thick and thin of this right now.
Thanks, Nancy. You know, a lot of moms struggle when they have a baby or two or three because becoming a mommy changes our bodies.
We're going to pick up the conversation tomorrow here on Revive Our Hearts and lots more. I know that already our listeners are being just caught up in this conversation. And if you know some young moms, get them listening to this podcast. They can go back to reviveourhearts.com to the archives and catch it if they missed yesterday's conversation. And we're going to talk about some things that young moms do wrestle with, postpartum body image. Mm-hmm. Self-care, how do I make sure my own needs are met? How do you protect your marriage while you're having all these young children? We're going to get into some of those things. How does the gospel give freedom, hope, and help, not for a perfect life, but for a Christ-honoring and Christ-centered life when we continue this conversation? So be sure and join us tomorrow for Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth wants to help you focus on Jesus in every season of life. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.